It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Well, as promised, at 5:15, we are now pleased to be joined by the governor of the great state of Arizona, Doug Ducey, joins us in studio for his monthly exclusive interview. And, Governor, the last time we had the pleasure to talk to you, we spoke to you about Las Vegas and the attack. And 30 days later, here we are again with what happened in Texas. Just a horrible, horrible attack. Many people dead, 26 dead. You know, Mac and I were talking earlier in the show. We don't know what to say anymore. We came in today. I honestly don't have words. I don't know what to say anymore, Governor.
It's hard to find words. I mean, it's another heartbreaking day in America. I know the governor of Texas. I think of what they've been through there in Texas and in Nevada, in Florida, in Puerto Rico, but specifically with these mass shootings, and we're seeing them more often. And I know people want to talk about what do we do? What happens next? And of course, that's the question that should be asked. And we were just talking before we broke into the segment. Mm-hmm. There were actually forms that this shooter had to fill out to purchase these guns. He lied on the forms.
Right.
They were never reviewed. They were never found. But you would seem if you're not allowed by law to purchase guns and you lie on a form and they have months to review them or put them into a system, that there would be some red flag somewhere so authorities could come and take those away from someone who was prohibited from ever buying them in the first place.
And Mac, you have the story on that. They dropped the ball, right?
Yeah, the Air Force never put anything into what's called the NIC or the NCIC, I think, into the database, into the system that would kick his application back. So he couldn't purchase the guns. So the Pentagon is saying, the Air Force dropped the ball on this. So there is some kind of blame that can be filtered back. But there is no real simple answer. And once again, we are discussing a situation where, numbers of people are dead.
26,
numbers.
26 dead. Half were children. Half of the people dead that were killed were children. And for me, Governor, I mean, I go to church with my wife and when the kids are in town every Saturday or Sunday. They killed people in a church.
There's no simple answer here. I do want to put, Arizona's hearts and prayers and thoughts with the people, the families, and the first responders of Texas. And we went to 5 p.m. church services last night, and it was a little airy going into the church. And I think we had a 30% bump in attendance. I don't know if it was people wanted to come together or they wanted to defy what had happened in Texas. And I don't know that provides any solace, that there was a mistake, that there is a place where you can point a finger. I wake up every morning and think of, are we prepared for a worst case scenario? Of course, what you want to do first and foremost are prevent things, but you do have to run these exercises where you work with the Department of Homeland Security, the state Homeland Security, and the FBI. If there is a mass tragedy, what happens? Who does what? Where are first responders and where are hospitals available? But what we, of course, want to do here at the state level is prevent these things. And when you see it happen elsewhere, your heart breaks, and as a governor, as a leader, and a policymaker, you want to have questions answered as to what can we do differently in the state, what's something that we're not doing that we should be doing to prevent this, and in a worst-case scenario, God forbid, are we prepared?
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey joins us for his exclusive monthly interview, and we're talking about the tragedy that happened in Texas, in a small Texas town, in a church, 26 people dead. Do you believe Arizona churches need more protection, need more security? Has any pastor or anybody from the religious community reached out to you saying, hey, we're concerned, we would like you to intervene in this? Anybody talk to you today about that?
Not today. I certainly have a lot of relationships in the faith-based community, know a lot of the pastors and priests and rabbis around the state. That question's never come up. There have been a lot of questions around criminal justice. How are we handling inmates? How are we handling people that are leaving prison? We're doing some work on that as well. And, we've been spared this kind of mass tragedy in Arizona, but we have a great Department of Public Safety and great police officers and first responders throughout the state, but you can't help but wonder that there, but for the grace of God, go we. I don't know, because in our state, people, of course, are gun owners, the robust defense of the Second Amendment. I don't know how much of that has to do with us avoiding this, but I would hope that this would not be something that would be focused on churches. But you have to think of that, just like I was at Sun Devil Stadium on Saturday night, and you look at all those new buildings that have been built in Tempe Town Lake with windows, and you can't help but think of Las Vegas. Now, I think that the authorities and police sweep those buildings beforehand, but you know, these guys are bad guys. They're thinking ahead, they're making a plan, and what's happening is tragic, and we should do anything and everything to prevent it, and also be prepared.
Governor, is there a legislative, like, solution? Because Mac and I were talking about this. You know, we can go through talking about guns. We can go through talking about mental health. I think it's guns and mental health that goes into this. I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both. But it almost comes down to individual responsibility. If you see somebody that and you know somebody that you think is off, that is dangerous, you know, you've got to say something. When you look at like Chicago, they've got these gun restrictions, and you look at Arizona, well, we have our gun laws, we have some of the most lax gun laws in the country, and we're doing pretty good. Do you see or feel that any laws should be changed here in Arizona to keep us safer when it comes to guns?
This is something that comes up every year at the legislature, and we actually have a lot of excellent legislators, and they're not shy about putting laws forward. I think there's over 1,000 laws that are presented every year. About 250 actually get up to my desk, and we veto some. We sign a lot of them. I'd be open-minded as to how we could deal with this, and I do think part of it is mental health. There's no doubt about that. It sounds trite, but you hear our federal government, Homeland Security, say if you see something, say something. And most of these individuals were off. There was something that was going wrong. But then I'll hear other people say that they called the police about something that happened in a situation in their neighborhood, and they said, well, there's not much we can do about it because it was only a threat. So if you've got an individual like the incident that happened in Texas yesterday, what would have happened in that setting? I mean, this guy actually filled out the forms, went and bought these guns illegally, and lied on them, and it doesn't even pop up. So you wonder what systems in government can we do that would red flag an individual like this who was dishonorably discharged
from the
Air Force.
Yeah, he should have been. It should have been flagged.
And
yeah.
At least the authorities should have went and said, you know, you legally don't have the right anymore to purchase these firearms.
Right.
All right. We're chatting with Governor Doug Ducey. He's in studio for his monthly exclusive. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about teacher pay.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about something that you put out today, giving people who have served their time in prison a second chance. All that and more with Governor Doug Ducey in studio next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, is here for his monthly exclusive interview. And earlier today, the governor issued an executive order instructing all state agencies to adopt a new hiring procedure. Basically, it intends to provide a second chance and increase the employment opportunities to Arizonans who have served their time and they've been released. And under this new policy known as the Second Chance Box, the state agencies will delay questions related to the applicant's criminal record until the initial stages of interviewing until later, ensuring that all individuals receive full and fair consideration for job openings. My first question is, why do we need this? What makes this so important when if somebody already has a predisposition to hiring somebody, right or wrong, eventually it's going to come out, and eventually they might not get a job if you're already predisposed to this.
It's an important point, but I think first and foremost, you know, it's about public safety in the state of Arizona, and we have people in state prison. They're serving their time. They're paying their debt to society.
Right.
But when they come out, if there isn't an opportunity for them to get a job, they're often put in a position, and we see this by our recidivism rates. We have 39% of those people are going to reoffend and go back, and when you say reoffend, that could be something It's certainly criminal, but it could be violent and harm another Arizonan. So we're trying to put people in a position, and this is input from inmates, is when they see that box on an application, they crumple up the application and throw it away. And I think
the inmate does, not. Or, I'm sorry, the
inmate does. The inmate does, because
not the employer.
Not the employer, because I think I might have been guilty of this when I owned my business, is you're just not going to consider these folks.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But if you get in front of them, somebody has a chance to tell their story, make their pitch. And in state government, of course, there's not options for them in child safety or in law enforcement or around finances or dollars.
Right.
But they ought to have some opportunity, and they ought to have the opportunity to make their case. And that's what the idea is behind the second chance box.
Okay, so you said you had input from – was it inmates or the correctional system? What is the number one bias? Like, is it the fact that they've been in prison? Like, what's the number one bias of people not wanting to hire these people if they have the qualifications? Is it just the fact that they've been in prison or something else?
Well, I think you'd have to ask people that haven't hired these folks. But what I've heard more often than not is, hey, they're a felon. They're a bad person.
Well, when you owned a business, what was your thought process of if you saw that box that they had a criminal past, you may not consider them?
You're concerned about your employees. You're concerned about other people. And I want you to know that I haven't given up those concerns. Mm-hmm. But now that I've seen the real public policy problem that you have here, that if you put these people out on the street and they don't have an opportunity, if there is no hope, well, we put them in a position where they're likely to reoffend. They have, you know, one of the reporters asked me, isn't this a risk, you know, putting these people in a position where someone might hire them? And I think the real risk is not giving them an opportunity, not having any hope in front of them, because then they're going to go out there and do something, you know, desperate. And oftentimes it's going to be violent. It's always criminal.
Governor Doug Ducey is joining us in studio. Let's go through some teachers' pay. And some teachers were not happy with you when you gave a raise to your staff. Now, obviously, you weren't taking money from teachers and giving it to your staff. There were teachers that went down to where your office is. They held the signs. Do you think that teachers are saying, Governor, can you do more for us? You're not doing enough for us. Was that the message that you took from them?
Well, of course, I want to separate this out. First, let's talk about teacher pay. And teacher pay is something that is very important to me. Arizona has put more money into K-12 education over the last 3 years than any other state in the country without raising taxes. It has been the focus of every budget that we've had, so much so that last year we put $163 million additional over and above inflation. That's on top of the $350 million with Prop 123. All of those dollars are available for teachers' pay. Part of the problem on this, Gatos, is some of these districts are giving teacher pay. I've had teachers that have come up, grabbed me by the arm, and said, thank you. I said, what are you thanking me for? They've had a $10,000 raise. I've had other teachers that have not had a raise in the last 3 years. We're working on some accountability measures so that people can track these dollars that go into the school districts. Now, I'd like to see them all go to teacher pay, but principals and superintendents tell me there's other needs that they have. Some of them are more urgent, but I want to keep the focus on teacher pay. Regarding the staff in the governor's office, I want people to know that we have not spent one additional dollar in the governor's office since I came into office. We have 10 fewer staffers in the governor's office in my administration. That article was really, I think, agenda-based journalism, and it really falls under the category of don't believe everything that you read in the paper.
Mm. I think a lot of teachers are still leaving. I mean, we see the numbers. There are teachers that are leaving. I think there were like 500 that left in the first couple of months. And, you know, this goes back, you know, other governors, you know, it's not – we have a problem with teachers. We have a problem with keeping them. We have a problem with paying them. So what is your message to the teachers who say, I don't feel it. I don't feel my paycheck getting bigger. I don't see my paycheck getting bigger. I see the job getting harder. What can the governor do for me?
Well, the first thing I want to say to the teachers is how much I value what they do. I realize how hard the work is. Besides my own parents, it is the teachers that have made the biggest difference in my life, and they're the people that make the biggest difference in the lives of our kids inside the schools. I'm going to continue to focus on dollars into K-12 education, and these dollars are all going to be available for teacher pay. I'm going to ask the teachers to also help me by holding principals and superintendents accountable. We do have some teachers that are leaving, but we've also got new people that are entering the profession. We've got things like the Teachers Academy, and we've worked on certification so that we can bring new people into teaching. But I know that these dollars, the fact that teachers want to be respected, they want to be rewarded financially, and I want to see them be retained in the state of Arizona, it's the best thing that I can do in public policy. When I've got kids graduating from our good grade schools and high schools and entering life, there's nothing better I can do. Almost all the problems that we have in our state prisons and elsewhere are people that haven't received a solid education. And the teachers are the ones that make the biggest difference, especially when there are problems in the homes.
If there were a poll, Governor, that let's say 80% of Arizonans have been polled and they say, yeah, go ahead and raise my taxes, that'll be okay because at least teachers would get more pay. Would you consider that because the people of Arizona spoke? Would you consider raising taxes then if an overwhelming majority of Arizonans said the teachers need to be paid, go ahead and raise my, let's say, property taxes?
Well, let me give it back to you this way. I have no desire to take more money for the government from hardworking Arizonans when I have found money elsewhere to move into K-12 education and when we've grown our economy. We've had 200,000 people that have moved here in the last 3 years. We've got the fastest growing county in the country. There are available dollars without raising taxes. So why would I want to raise
enough to kick us up from like the bottom of teacher pay and funding?
We've led the nation in additional funding into K-12 education without raising taxes. I would say the bigger challenge is where are those dollars going? How are they being spent? A lot of people in the establishment will say to you, "Hell, those dollars are gone. They've already been spent." When you take a system the size of ours, and it's a large system, but you move $513 million additional in a year, and people say it's already gone. That's not an answer that anybody here at your studio would satisfy them. It wouldn't have satisfied them in my old life at Procter & Gamble or Cold Stone Creamery. Somebody would say, where are these dollars going? These are the most valuable people that you have in your system. These are the most valuable employees, and they're not getting a raise. Where are you spending the dollars?
Right.
And that's the question I'm asking.
Right, but that's why you've got to attract more people. So in order to bump up teacher pay from the bottom of the polls up to let's say up to 30, you know, top 20.
Well,
in order to do that, you're going to have to find that money from somewhere else. There's not enough through taxpayer money. You're going to have to increase taxes.
There is enough through taxpayer dollar. There's enough.
To bump us up to 25? Number 25,
maybe? If you index where we are with teachers right now to cost of living, there are people will tell you that we're at 29 right now. I mean, these are the way people play with statistics and numbers so that they can drive their agenda is just something that you have to deal with in my position. But $513 million additional dollars in the past year into K-12 education is a significant amount of money. To just say that's gone, now let's go raise taxes so we can put more in there without asking where it was spent, I think that that would be irresponsible.
All right, Governor, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. And I hope the next time you come in, we don't have to talk about an attack. We don't have to talk about a Vegas-style shooting or a Texas-style shooting, because that just seems like every time we talk to you once a month, this stuff is happening too much. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys. Be safe.
All right, Governor Doug Ducey.